Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I know it was traffic, there was an accident, but then he made up for it because he brought in an incredibly beautiful dog named Wendy.
Born June 13th in London, England. As a boy, he lived in Brazil, Venezuela, and Canada before settling in the United States. He studied briefly at the University of Miami before graduating from the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Clown College. He was working as a clown when he met Johnny Knoxville, launching a career that would find him stapling his sack to his leg, being bitten by an alligator snapping turtle, snorting wasabi, jamming a giant fish hook through his cheek and more, while part of the pop culture landmark, Jackass. And this weekend, you can see him live on stage at the Improv. Please welcome, Steve-O.
You know, with the robot says it, it doesn't sound quite as good as it really was to me.
Like, ah, man, it's all good,
it's undersold with the robot voice. You are. By the way, what a great dog. So, I gotta tell a story. Steve-O rolls in with this beautiful dog. What are you, that dog's about, 50 pounds? She is, maybe 40 pounds?
I think 59 when I went over there.
And she's a Peruvian dog.
Street dog. Now, a lot of the listeners are going to know this story because the video that I was just telling you about,
I
counted over 100 million views on Facebook.
Great. I'm going to throw it up here because I think that's such a great story. You met this dog on the street. You fell in love. They wouldn't let you keep the dog
in the hotel
while you were shooting this production.
So they pitched a tent for me outside of the hotel.
Yeah.
And I slept in her with there.
I knew I liked you, man.
Yeah, that's good. It's pretty rad, man. You know, we get older and different things become important to us.
Yeah.
You know, I used to do all of this crazy stuff because I'm an attention whore.
Right.
And I'm still an attention whore, but now I'm sort of like on this crazy mission, you know? Like I'm really, really hustling at this point and going crazier than ever with my Jackass stuff so that I can buy a big bitchin' property and open up an animal sanctuary with my
beautiful,
girl.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful. No, I get it. It's worth it, man. That look at that dog.
Oh, dude, she's epic. And when I say going crazier than ever, oh boy.
Yeah.
It's really pretty something else.
Physically though, man, how long can you do? You know, because you think
about all that you've done
with Jackass, and you know, everybody, all you guys,
right,
are I think permanently hurt in a lot of ways.
I've been fortunate. I'm physically. I've picked my battles a little better than, say, Knoxville has.
Yeah, poor Knoxville. Like I was reading something the other day. Like, I think there's so much part of him that he'd like to do another Jackass. I just don't know if physically, like, I think you could bring another crew.
I don't know. I would love to know what the philosophy is there, you know, because he's been pretty resistant to the idea. And I've been, I never stopped hustling, really.
Right.
The last movie came out a while ago now, man, over 8 years ago now. And I got right onto the comedy circuit at that point.
Yeah, that's right.
And while I was still, you know, I had all this crazy stuff in me, I made a concerted effort to establish myself as a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, no, and you're good.
Thank you. That was, I think from the perspective of longevity, that was a good call. But what my experience was that I was like, man, I'm never going to be known for stand-up comedy, you know, and that's fine. But I taped my first comedy special. It came out. It came out in 2016. And my life did not change. You know, I thought it was going to be like my life changed overnight and everyone's going to be like, wow, you know, Steve-O's been established as a stand-up comedian. And that really didn't happen, but I kept going.
I mean, you got to give it time, man.
I'm not crying about it. But the way that it worked was that after that first special, and then when you build a new show, when you tape a special, as I built that second show, it occurred to me, wow, all of these stories that I'm telling as a stand-up routine are things that happened on camera. So, like, what if I had made my next comedy special a stand-up special, but I have all the footage edited in?
Why not?
So that it's a multimedia comedy special.
That's a great idea.
And my head exploded when I came up with that idea, and I started taping all my shows and editing the footage in. And by doing that, I was really forced to study it, and I think that that made the whole thing improve so much. And then I was like, well, I don't want it to be all old stories, so like for every old story, then I'll do something new that's crazy.
Okay.
And so I taped this special last year, and I knew right away what the next show. I taped it at the beginning of last year, and then I took the whole year off putting together a new show, which I'm here with now.
When you say it gets crazier, like give me...
Okay, well, here's the thing. My new show... It I come out and the first joke, which isn't even intended to be a joke, but it just happens to be hilarious. I say I'm in a really messed up situation. I'm Steve-O in my 40s.
And right.
So there's like sort of the premise, and it's like, you know, I've made this career for myself doing dumb stuff, but at this point the bar is so high for the stuff that we do.
Like, how much further can you go, man?
The bar is so high, and my body is, you know, there's like not that much time left necessarily for me to do this stuff before it just becomes creepy to watch.
Right.
So I feel like I got to hurry up and go for it, you know, like one more major push. And there's no question about what to do, because I have what I call my bucket list, which is like... And people have asked me plenty of times, like, hey, so is there, like, some stuff...
What is it?
Is there some stuff that was, like, just too much to go for? It's elusive that you're still, like, you know, it's a bucket list, yeah. And everything on the list, for the most part, is ideas that I've had forever that I just never thought were actually going to happen. And now I'm just saying, screw it, and I've been going through with them.
You got to tell me.
Okay, Man, there's a bunch of heavy stuff. The oldest idea on the list was the vasectomy Olympics, because when I was a kid, I heard a joke. What's the definition of macho? A man who jogs home from his own vasectomy.
Right.
And
saying you're going to get a vasectomy?
I already did. Yeah.
And then you went to the Olympic running and jumping.
I got on a horse bareback like right afterwards. It's pretty awesome.
I've had a couple buddies who've had vasectomies. My buddy Eric's had them, and I've been like, show me your balls. Like, how bad is it? I'm like, that's bad.
It's not bad. It's not bad until after you get it strung up as a piñata and have kids whack you. So that's one.
That's a good terrible idea.
That's a great terrible idea, because like a nut shot, you know, a shot to the nuts, it just never gets old. It's always funny, and
nobody understands unless you're a guy. Like, you could tell a girl, and you're like, there's nothing I can tell you that will make you understand the time delay pain of the stomach.
Where sure.
It just, you're like the thud, the moment, and then the roll on.
Right.
Like,
yeah, it's a really well-rounded thing. And here where this show that I'm doing, like my worlds have fully married together. Like the last show, I edited all the footage in after the fact. So the footage didn't live on tour. It was just the stand-up stood on its own. But now, with this new show, the Bucket List Tour...
No, it's smart, because, I mean, listen, you can tell people. I can tell you, hey, I was a piñata. I did the vasectomy Olympics. But when you illustrate it and you really let them understand that's where it comes to life.
Yeah, here's how it works, is that this new act is a journey through the bucket list.
Yeah.
And after each bit, I screen it. So there's a screen in the theater, and you actually see the vasectomy, and you see me get on the horse, and you see, like, the whole thing.
Man.
Fully multimedia, and it's so explicit that there are legal waivers posted all over the venue.
That's great.
Because you know, particularly, there's some people faint.
They're going to see your balls. They're going to see your genitals. They're going to see.
They're
going to
see me peeing white while falling out of an airplane.
So ridiculous.
I had a thing where, like, one of the other old ideas on the list, as it relates to skydiving, I never was interested in skydiving because everybody does it.
Sure.
You know, I'm like, why would I waste my time on stuff grandmas do? Like I said, if I go skydiving, because the first time you have to have a dude strapped on your back, tandem guy.
Yeah.
I was like, well, then, I'm going to be butt naked.
Sure,
and I'm going to be... Yeah, I'm going to be butt naked with a dude on my back, and I'm going to be furiously servicing myself. and I'm gonna perfectly time the completion with leaving the airplane, skydiving for my first time.
I've been skydiving a bunch, and I'm just trying to wrap my head around the idea of, because I know what it takes. Like, when you get in that plane,
oh,
and you're strapped to a guy,
it's
nuts to butts, right? So your butt's up against him, and he's strapped to you.
The dude was wearing a Tiger Print Speedo.
And so what are you thinking about when you're masturbating?
You're allowed to say that?
Yeah, you say masturbate. Sure.
That's great.
So you're masturbating, but I'm just like, what are you thinking of? Because you're still trying to think about, there's a camera shot. You've got to have a timing moment. You've got to still produce it yourself.
We shot it on 13 cameras. There was a slow motion camera on the side of the airplane that took full blast. None of it. All of it went out of the plane.
Finish. Like, I mean, that's...
It was a crazy science experiment.
You know who
was my fluffer? Missouri's own Preston Lacey.
From
Jackass,
Yes.
He was sitting right next to me with a big old bottle of lotion.
Jesus
Christ. I had all kinds of stuff going for me. You know, that morning I took...
I don't know how you do. Take Viagra. You had to.
It was Cialis. Same thing.
Yeah,
four of them. I had four Cialis for breakfast. I don't want to tell the whole bit because... It's so funny. Like, having been on the comedy club circuit for I'm in my ninth year,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I put in the work with the stand up. So
no, that's perfect.
I said that the actual act doesn't even need video, but having the video on top of that, and the video
perfect,
is being
man.
Like the video only lives on this tour.
That's
it's exclusive to this tour while I figure out what I'm going to do with it all.
God, my buddy has he was in a motorcycle accident, so it broke his penis. It's terribly curved.
That's what happened in Knoxville. Yeah, he had a catheter for two years, I think he had.
So now to get it straight, he has to take these shots where it breaks up the scar tissue inside, and then they have to give him another shot, which gives him a four-hour erection.
Couldn't he just switch hands?
I know, right? Yeah, bend it out the other way. He just broke his penis. The head of his penis goes at about 10 o'clock right now.
That's epic.
That's absolutely true. He did, you know how it is. Poor bastard's got a 9-inch mind with a 4-inch stroke.
Sure.
You know, so add a little bit too much. It's still busted, right?
Yeah.
When's your doctor? When's your urologist appointment?
It's next week.
Next week?
Next week, yeah.
Yeah, that's totally true. How did Knoxville break his?
He tried to do a double backflip on a motorcycle. Like the Travis Pastrana, again, it's so crazy. Now they're doing like quadruple flips,
right,
but
yeah.
This was a good 10 years ago, I think. And Travis Pastrana did the first double backflip on a motorcycle.
I remember. Yeah.
And Knoxville wanted to honor him by attempting to do it himself, when meanwhile, Knoxville has zero coordination. And they told him the one thing that's important is don't let go of the bike, because if you let go of the bike, odds are you're on the way up and the bike's going to go straight up and it's going to come down and land on you.
Yeah.
It's exactly what Knoxville did.
I remember that now. Yes.
Yeah, the bike
that.
Landed on his Johnson.
Oh. We're never going to not find getting hit in the junk funny. It's
right.
terrible. I mean, you definitely
right.
cringe, but we laugh and laugh. I mean,
the trick is, like, when you're doing, like, when the bar gets as high as it is now, it's the trick is to make it creative and colorful and light and fun and funny.
Well,
instead of just
Stooges.
Straight dark, you know, like right. I pulled up making a vasectomy, like, hilarious and fun to watch. Is something I'm really proud to have accomplished. You know, to have a venue full of people like cracking up at the vasectomy Olympics is I consider it virtually one of my highest accomplishments.
Dude, it started with the Three Stooges.
To make full completion masturbation That's, on camera.
You're more fun, of a man than
fun,
any man I know.
Cool and funny.
Where did it go? Like,
no,
here's my problem with that. It's like, man, once, you know, if you're going about 100, you know, how fast is the plane going?
I know, you can rip
open
your...
it. Well, not to mention the fact that when you finish, it goes everywhere. It means everybody got a little.
Yeah.
Everybody got
Oh, man. Imagine what it was like trying to find the people to do this with.
Oh, yeah, no.
And it was when I taped my second comedy special, which isn't out yet. But it was when I taped that one. And I knew that after this, that the next show was going to be the bucket list. I already knew it. I already knew that
So that's, by the way, that is tonight and tomorrow night.
Tonight and tomorrow night. All of this goes down, and not only is it the multimedia bucket list show with Preston Lacey as my opener.
Great.
But after the show, still, I do a full meet and greet with the entire audience.
So. People love you, Steve-O. And they,
thanks,
by the way, how's your health? How's your sobriety? How is
everything? It's good, man. I'm creeping up on 11 years.
You look good, man. I mean, healthy. I've never seen you look as healthy as you do today.
Oh, well, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
You are. And you're like,
my diet's not been as good, man. I've been in trouble with sugar. I'm not eating as much like leafy greens.
Think about what you just said. You know, the life you've led, the excess that you've had. Leafy greens.
I know.
That's a long way. And God bless, man, because, dude, listen. You
can't
know,
imagine back in the day
and
be like, oh, man, I don't know. My cocaine hasn't been organic.
Right? I'm going to get some vitamins in this stuff. You
right.
You
no, know, I appreciate it, man. And it's... Who would have ever thought that it would turn out
like
this?
Look, you were really in danger of dying at one point.
Big time.
And that's...
Our buddy Bam now.
Yeah.
Bam's in...
I see that. In rehab again for the... I don't know how many times he's been in.
He just went to rehab. I don't know if it was his fourth or his fifth time.
Do you think it's his... It's the celebrity, the up and down, the hills and
valleys?
It's
not about celebrity because there's really just like... one program of recovery, you know, like,
okay. Yeah.
Without like, you know, breaking any traditions of the program, you know, I think I can say that whenever I complain to my sponsor about my special circumstances in life,
sure.
My sponsor is quick to point out there's only one book. There's no special edition for special people.
Right. You know? Right. There you go.
There's
yeah,
only
yeah.
one program and it's the same program for everybody. But yes, I mean, I don't know what it is. I'm so grateful that
I'm sure you reach out and you try to help him and you know, you're
yeah,
there
man,
for him.
We all behind the scenes, we all orchestrated this last intervention. You know, it was
I've
us.
Done it. I've done it with people. I put friends in rehab, man. And
right.
It's hard because you can't change someone's mind. You can only
you know what it is?
Tell them you love them.
And I always, whenever I'm asked to speak about recovery, I have this analogy that I came up with, and I'm a little bit proud of it. I tell people that, yeah, you know, going from being totally loaded to totally sober, you're changing your circumstances so much. Yes, it's going to be a change. It's like when you go up to a pool, you know, if you go up to a swimming pool and you dunk your toe into it, your toe is going to tell you that the water's cold because it's like, it's a different deal, you know? And
right.
If you think you're going to go to the shallow end of the pool and walk down the stairs gradually getting into the water, it's never going to happen because you're torturing yourself. You know, the only way to get in that pool is to jump all the way in, all at
sure.
once, into the deep end and start swimming around. And when you do that, you land in the water. Yeah, it feels cold. But if you just start swimming around, you stay in the water, it's amazing. Every single time, it's amazing how quickly it occurs to you, man, I can't believe this felt so cold just a moment ago.
Yeah,
like I got
better.
Used to it.
Yeah.
And now I can stay in here as long as I want. Like it's not uncomfortable anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you acclimate.
Absolutely, man.
And that's the thing is that when you get into recovery and you just stay put and do the work,
well,
it's amazing how quickly it becomes, you acclimate to it. And it's not like so hard to deal with. And so the analogy, it makes sense. And it goes a step further because, as is the case with our buddy Bam, you just can't go around pushing people into pools and expecting them to stay in.
That's right.
Nobody gets shoved
right.
into a pool
gotta,
and says...
They got to want to jump, man.
Yeah, nobody jumps into a pool and there's... Nobody gets shoved into a pool and says, oh, man, thanks so much. I needed that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And at the same time, I'm just so glad that you know... It's so easy to jump into a pool when you're on fire.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. That's exactly it, man. You hit that big deal at the bottom or whatever you want to say. But, yeah, you know, you got to find your place where you go, I'm going to die. I'm going to lose everything. This is not who I want to be. And, again,
right.
I've had friends I've had to put in and help. And again, you can convince nobody of anything. They got to convince themselves.
And I come from a long line of alcoholics, man. It does not skip a generation in my family, man. Like,
well, you're so, you know, because we have a similar background. My mom's English, and your
okay,
and
my
your
mom,
father's,
my mom
and your
is
father's
born,
English.
My mom was born in Canada, and dad was born in the States, and I was born in England.
Okay, because I was not born in England, but my mom met my father when he was stationed over there, and then we moved there for a while.
Cool.
And you're beginning, like, because people don't know, you went to the Ringling Brothers School.
I went to Clown College after dropping out of college, yeah. I grew up in five different countries, spoke three different languages. My father was a successful corporate executive.
Yeah.
Nobody knows that. That's, or at least not, it's not widely known.
But I love that because you knew at an early age you liked to make people laugh. You wanted to be that. You liked, you know, we're all attention whores, right? We got a terrible case of the look at me's. And, it can be productive. It doesn't mean it has to be negative, you know? You can be a great clown. You can become part of Jackass. You shoot those incredible movies. You do stand up. You bring this stuff to life. And man, what better feeling than bringing joy to somebody? Like really seeing someone laugh.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, shoot. Like, I think most people don't love their jobs. They don't even necessarily love their significant others.
Right, that's right. They settle.
You know,
this is what I guess I have to do.
I think a lot of people are in situations that generally they could use a distraction from. And I think that, I don't know when it was, probably a good 10 years ago, maybe probably more, when I said, you know, that's my job. I'm a distraction therapist.
Absolutely.
I make a crappy day better by getting people's mind off of whatever is bothering them.
What about relationships, man? How do you do with that now?
I'm better, man. I was awful. I never managed to make it a year. But then now, I won't say, now I'm engaged. Which I'm thrilled about.
Have you ever been engaged before?
Like when I was on drugs and one other time. I don't even think.
But this is real.
This is real, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And, God, like.
Is she normal? Is she just regular?
She works in the industry as a set designer, production,
nice.
Prop stylist, you know, art department. When I started the comedy tour. And I want to say I was 36, 37. As I got to maybe like 38, and you know, back then the doing the meet and greet with the audience,
yeah.
It was essentially, let me, now that the show is over, have a mass audition with the audience who the lucky lady is that's gonna, you know.
Yeah. Why would you? Yeah. Why would you settle down if it's being thrown at you every day?
Like, well,
and I do think you kind of got to get that out of your system.
Right. And I had this joke. I was like, you know, I'm looking into my future. I'm about to be 40 years old. And, you know, and I don't want to be 50 years old and physically falling apart and trying to hump everything that moves.
Right.
Like, that would be pathetic.
No,
I don't want to.
It goes creepy. It's like,
I don't want
to. Same reason I stopped doing coke. I just was like, one day, it wasn't like it was a problem. I was like, you really want to be the disc jockey guy doing rails at a certain, like, it just looks creepy, man. And so you just stop it.
Right. I was like, I don't want to turn into Pauly Shore.
And that's true, man. I mean, he sat here, and I like Pauly, but I mean, I've watched him swipe. I'm watching him on Tinder just rolling it, man.
Dude, he's perhaps the most notorious of them all, and he's in his 50s now.
Yeah.
You know? Not to say that that's...
Sex is great.
Not to say that that's right or wrong, and who am I to poke fun, just to be funny. What? But I honestly believe, and I believe this, you know, back then, that's not the way to be. That's not the path to happiness. I really believe
that's just excess.
I really believe that in order to be happy, that I needed to learn how to have a healthy relationship. And so what I did back then was I said, okay, no more fooling around on the road. Like that's gonna. I made a promise to myself. I'm not gonna fool around with any more random chicks on tour. And I could not keep the. It was right when I made that promise. And then I was there. I was in Toronto, just totally minding my own business at the booby bar.
I've been in Toronto.
Right?
I know. Yeah, I know.
The Brass Rail.
Yeah. I've been. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm doing my thing. Like, sure. I'm just chilling. Like, I made a deal. I'm gonna be good now. You know, and so there I am sitting in the booby bar.
Come and flying at you then.
And this it was this one. This one little dancer, she was like maybe 19, I think, and she had huge boobs, and she, you know, it's a pretty, and she came running over, and she, with urgency, she swung around and stuck her butt in my face, and I looked at it, and there was my own autograph. She had my autograph, and I actually
remember.
It's
like your duty then.
I know, I remembered that that she had broken into an interview at Much Music in Canada where I was promoting my book and got me to autograph her butt. And now she's a dancer.
That's hilarious.
And, you know, and I'm like, well, I mean, who am I to dash her dreams?
That's right. That's exactly. It's your God-given duty.
And if it was, and then one after another, it was just like I kept breaking my promise. So I ended up like getting into therapy and actually like got into recovery for sexual addiction, man, like compulsive sexual acting out.
Well, you know what?
And I did a lot of work, man. I did a lot of work to preemptively become the man that this woman I'm with now deserves.
Well, you know what? I think you also have to get to a place where you go, listen, it's risk versus reward, right? What girl are you going to meet that is worth losing the girl you love for that?
It's just
true. And again, don't rob a lemonade stand if you know the prison term's 20 years. If you get a shot at Fort Knox, then just decide what you got to do.
Right.
But that's what I always think. It's not because I'm terribly monogamous, and I am. But I go, what would it be worth losing it and losing this? And then just, it's a simple equation.
For sure.
But I see a guy, if his wife is terrible or a girl whose husband's terrible, I'm like, yeah, no, it's easy to cheat when it's like that.
Sure.
Man, you got it. Don't take people for granted and care about them.
You know, it's so crazy. It's difficult for me to sit here and say, in recovery for sexual addiction, because there's such a stigma about it, you know? Like, it's cool to say I'm a sober alcoholic, totally cool.
Yeah.
But then you say I'm a sex addict, not so cool anymore. And to me, it's crazy because, like...
Unless a girl says it, and then I'm just... and then I'm like, how committed are you?
It's so insane to me that still in our society... Like right here, I have a ring on my ring finger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not married yet. I'm engaged. Like, why is it that only women are supposed to indicate that they're taken and that, you know, like a man's not supposed to wear a ring? Is that actually coming out and saying that men aren't supposed to be faithful until they actually get married?
Well, no, that's society. Well, it's a combination of nature and society. Because, you know, listen, we all want to spread the seed, right? I mean, that's your nature.
Like, if a guy comes up to you and says, you know, you got a married guy, and he's like, oh, man, oh, dude, like, I hooked up with her. Like, it's not like...
Yeah.
I mean, the guy doesn't want to get caught, and it's not right, but it's not unusual. It's like...
No, there's plenty of guys like that.
Like, infidelity is not... not only is it not uncommon, it's not... It's almost like the norm, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely is, man. Trust me.
I would way rather be the guy that acknowledges that I've had issues with acting out compulsively, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. And that I don't anymore... than to be the guy that would never, like, that would never, like, address a stigma, but then he's secretly
I see those guys all the time. There's a hole, right? All right. I try to explain to someone. I go, imagine you got a hole inside of you. Some guys are trying to fill it with money, some fame, some dope, some sex. But that hole never grows closed. It can't be filled. Gratitude is the only thing that makes it heal over. Being grateful for your life, for somebody you love. That's the only thing that heals that thing up, man. I see it time and time again. But it all starts that, like, I knew you were fine when you walked in with that dog, Wendy, who you met in Peru on a shoot.
Yeah.
And now that dog is so important to you. You carry that dog with you everywhere you go because unconditional love. And I can tell by the way she handles herself, how you handle her. She was a street dog, which means she was feral when you met her. That dog is smart and trusting, and she's walked through here. We used to call that color, by the way, Island Brown. I got a buddy who lives on an island, and all the dogs are kind of interlinked. And they always turn that same color brown.
Up, up.
That's Wendy.
Up, up.
Wendy is a 59-pound mix. There's a little German Shepherd in there somewhere. Yeah. A little German Shepherd in there somewhere.
It's Belgian Malinois.
But look at her.
She's the best.
How many times, and it's funny because I know this because all my dogs are rescues. People go, oh, that dog hit the lottery with you. And you're like, no, man.
Sure.
I hit the lottery.
It's so mutual.
Yeah.
And she's got a bit in my show, too. Like, it's
her.
So great because, and it's right after the vasectomy Olympics, where that's, like, it gets pretty intense. And then I talk about how I found Wendy. She comes out on stage, and we've got bit in the show.
See, what a crowd bleed. Like, I mean, who doesn't fall in love with that?
Right. She does a little routine. She's trained and stuff. And and that's the bit where I make fun of service dog vests.
Yeah, I know. You know, even I have one, because I always want to take my dog.
Right.
When I go to a hotel, I want him to stay with me. So I'll put it on. And he's like Wendy. Like, he's
sure.
And she's
clearly. Well, that's the thing.
Lying.
Like... I mean, again, I don't want to spill my act out on the radio because I think that's kind of douchey, but I will make the point that it blows my mind how there is no governing body and there is no such thing as official certification for a service animal. Yeah. There's like there's all kinds of legal protections for service animals. Right. Actually, federal law protects service animals so much they actually view the animal as an extension of your body. And so, yeah. like you don't have to buy her a ticket on the airplane or anything that.
The ADA laws, yeah.
And there's you can go up to anybody if they're a blind person with like the most official seeing eye dog, you can say, is there really no such thing as certification for a service animal?
There's only a doctor. The only thing they can certify for sure is a doctor's note that says this person needs this animal.
Sure.
This is a prescribed and agreed upon remedy.
Which I totally have. Yeah. I
I got one probably 8 years ago for my dog, but simply I never use it until we hit a hotel and I put it on him and he walks in with me and I take it off and he's stay in the hotel and that's it. We've never been on an airplane. I don't do it to be.
We're on airplanes every week.
But that's it. I know, which is great because she's clearly like.
She's never made a peep on an airplane. She's never peed in a hotel.
How old was she when you found her?
It's tough to say. The guess is that she's about 4 years old now.
And how long have you had her?
I found her on August 9th of 2017.
So, I mean, the fact that she was a street dog and she has this personality is unheard of. Most of those dogs, you know how they are. They're afraid of, they've been, especially in Central American and South American countries, there's not a great love of those street animals. And there's a lot of people kicking at them and throwing stuff at them.
They do pretty well in Peru. And now I've been all over the world and I tend to judge countries based on the condition of the street dogs. And I've found that Peru's actually, they're doing pretty well for themselves in Peru. I was looking around all day, not all day, but a lot of the day. I was going around with a bag of dog food trying to find a dog to bring to the base camp. And none of the dogs wanted. Most of them were afraid. They weren't aggressive. A couple were aggressive. Most of them were afraid. And it was Wendy that I hit it off with right away.
Yeah. No, you know instantly. Like, you know. And that lock you guys have, I'm watching this right now. 59-pound dog. Like, tell me that's not.
It's sitting in his lap. Like, it's almost like you're. Chubby baby.
That's how you know healthy love. That dog will teach you what healthy love is. There's nothing you would never forsake that dog. You'd never let that dog down. You'd never hurt that dog.
If anything ever happened to this dog, I would not be okay.
That's it. But if we can, and this is a little huggy kissy, but if we can treat the person we're supposed to be in love with as well as we would treat an animal that we have, we'll be just fine, man.
And how
you would never leave that dog for another dog. You know what I mean? You wouldn't be like, you're out and you're in. You know what I mean? That's your
dog. Well, we do have four dogs.
Right. Trust me, I tried to tuck my girlfriend into that as well.
I agree with everything you're saying. I need to try that tactic.
I need to go home and go, listen, why don't we go with another chick? Listen, we have multiple dogs. We wouldn't get rid of
one. Yeah, let's open up a sanctuary.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to get a horse sanctuary.
The way she leans into him is so sweet.
No, that's the love. That's the lean, man. That's how I knew for sure you were going to do great, man. I'm proud for you because that's a thing, man. That animal's a thing. I mean, really a good bit of love. It makes your whole world better. Tell me, I mean, once you can hit that stride, you're okay.
Do your dogs have Instagram pages?
Oh, no, I'm kidding. Might as well because he had all the pictures of them. You know, like, I'll have to show you.
So that's a yes?
No, not on their own name. It's under Giant Air Pick, but they might as well because it's in mine all the time, like nonstop. This is yesterday. There's Blue Steel.
Nice.
Look at that face.
Oh, yeah, they would have gotten along great. We should definitely introduce him.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I just didn't want to rush it just because I also have another one, little Lulu, who I got from my buddy who had triplets, and she's a little terrier mix, and they can be a little territorial, but he's come to work every day for 14 years. So, I mean, they're all good. And she's clearly like mellow.
She doesn't take any garbage from any other dogs.
Lulu's obnoxious. She doesn't.
She won't instigate.
She jumps up on everything. Yeah. She's a goober. Barge is old now. He's 15 almost, and he just be slow.
Yeah, you know? Like you're like a big guy. You could if anybody messed with you, you would probably stop that from happening. But you wouldn't ever instigate or
No.
Wendy's that way.
Yeah, no, you can read that. I mean, I can always read a dog. I look at her ears, and I know exactly what she's doing. She's listening to you. She's looking out the window. She's as calm as a balm. That dog has no aggression and no fear. That's the thing that always makes a dog bite is fear. You know, they think that they're going to get attacked. They think that something bad's going to happen. That's the dangerous dog, man.
Yeah,
no issues on the road with her.
Never.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, little babies, like actual babies, toddlers. can crawl right up to her and poke her in the eyes, and nothing's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. No, we got another dog guy. We call him lovingly Cletus, but Miles, he's a black lab, and he's that guy. Like, little babies crawl on him, go to sleep.
I have all kinds of footage, too. I have footage of little babies, and I love it, man. Yeah. Especially because now I'm going to make this video, and I've been a little bit, like, it's a touchy subject to say, like, oh, yeah, she's my service dog. I'm going to bring her around, especially when, like, the video that introduced her to the world was viewed 100 million times.
I think,
you know, and like the
it's
thing
understandable. And I think, and look, trolls are going to say whatever.
Sure.
But it's clear. Anybody who knows you, Steve.
Well, I get it.
No, they get it. Like, that's
I get it. And it took me a while to get to the point where I can just unapologetically say, look, if you have a problem with me bringing my service dog, then you have a problem with my doctor and his 20 years of licensed practice on the California Board of Medicine.
You go farther than I would go, because my answer is real simple. You don't like my dog? You can suck all my dick. Get a whole bowl of them, man. Like, I'm like, we're done.
Right.
It's easy.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm glad I brought that up, man. Thank you for that.
No, I think you're going to do a lot for animals. I mean, you tell that story. You show that an animal you met in another country, and I'm so good you got to bring her back. And nobody should ever buy a dog from a breeder, ever. You should always. You're so, look
well,
at
they,
that
I
dog.
Mean, not only not only is it like the puppy mill is like is just kind of a bad scene, but all the inbreeding that goes on.
They don't understand it. We call them hillbillies. You know, when people do it in their own families, it makes you less strong.
Yeah.
You know, really nature breeds out weakness and breeds in strength just by evolution.
The inbreeding is pretty intense,
it's
man.
It's awful, man. And that's why dogs are so sick and they go deaf, the Dalmatians and their eyes and their hip dysplasia and everything that goes along. That dog's going to live, God willing, a long, happy, beautiful life, man.
I mean, I sure hope so, man. And she's got a GPS tracker on there. A lot of people look at it and they think, is that a shock collar? And the last thing that she needs is a shock collar.
Right.
It's a GPS tracker.
Smart. Absolutely smart, man. It's funny because I thought about it. With you traveling, you have to have it. Right? Dogs like yours don't need to be leashed. That leash is for other people's comfort.
And I'm not worried about her like leaving me. I'm worried about someone taking her.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, I get that, man. Because there's maniacs, man.
Sure.
You are. Oh, look, Steve. God damn it. I got to go.
Hey, man, not to worry, brother. not to worry, man. I'm so thrilled
I'm so happy to see you, like, in this place, man.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. And, yeah, like, I got to say, I shouldn't say it, but I will. You know, I'm nervous about what am I going to do after this show that I'm doing. Like, I put it all into this bucket list.
I think you're going to be creative like you always are.
I'm going to be creative like I always am. But as far as, like, the Jackass style of stunt, you know, like comedy, I have pushed it as far as I can go. Now, there's other stuff on my list I haven't gotten to. So there's conceivable there could be a bucket list part two, or the list goes on.
Have you been shot out of a cannon, by the way?
I have. Knoxville did.
Because I have a buddy, Jesse, we did it at Sturgis at the Full Throttle Saloon.
Uh-huh.
Lead singer for Jackal. Never practiced it. The guy came out. We just shot 2 75-pound sandbags where they landed. That's where the net went. He did his entire set, climbed in a goddamn cannon, shot him over the crowd, landed on the net, and did 2 encores.
Wow.
And since you know how that works, you understand how ridiculous that was.
Sure.
If you don't get to your back, it's all bad.
Yeah.
And it was the same guy. He travels all over. In fact, he might even be Canadian. He's the human bullet guy. But watching that happen, like, that's something. That's so ridiculous, man. I didn't know Knoxville had done it.
Knoxville did. It was a pretty scaled down, pared down version, I think. I don't know. They didn't shoot him like a whole football field or anything. But the fact that he's Knoxville and he did it is pretty epic.
Yeah, well, and it's hard to do. I mean, you to watch it happen. And again, they keep the secret, you know.
Sure.
And it's very real. But man, that's a lot of pressure when you climb down.
It's a spring coil.
You make that little ball. Like, sure. You get down that. I mean,
sure.
Zero to like, about 80 miles an hour.
You could really just mess yourself up. And you're right. You're right. I'll figure out what to do next. But as far as my worlds haven't come together in a the most intense way. Like,
you're going to write and direct. I can already see it. I can tell you're going to go produce something. You already, I bet you anything, you've already got the idea. It's already on a pad.
Well, yeah, I have my own production company making my stuff now. So, thanks, dude. I appreciate it. And the bucket list tour is it's going off. I got Preston Lacey opening for me.
Good.
By entering the improv, you surrender, you acknowledge that you're going to see some heavy stuff.
If you like Jackass, you like Steve-O, this is going to be, you know, on a little extra. And
Yeah. You're going to see me butt naked, peeing white as I fall through the sky.
Jesus God. Have all your relatives seen this yet?
Yeah, actually, my dad came to see the show.
What did he
say?
He
said, well, as he says, I'm sure you can predict that the show wasn't for me. but I got to give it to you. It was a great show.
That's great. Well, that's it, man. Look, you get the understanding. Yeah. It's going to make you laugh. It's going to make you cringe. It's going to, if you like Jackass and Steve-O, clearly that's it. You know you're going to love this, but it's going to be farther. I think it's a good first date night, and I'll tell you why. If she doesn't freak out, it's going to be good. You're going to be fine.
I've never had a girl faint, but it's always a dude.
Really? How often do you see that? Do dudes just watch it, and they're like, oh, I got to go. I got to leave
now. It's been probably about 7.
That's hilarious. You'll never live that down. Like, even if you're with a girl, the girl's like, you're a pussy. Like. That's one of those things, like, if you faint like that, you'll never live that down with your buddy.
It's funny, too. A lot of people, they say, man, I'll see people post, like, I love Steve-O's show, you know, but I, at one point I got the spins.
The improv tonight, are you doing 2 shows tonight or what?
Two shows tonight and 2 shows tomorrow.
All right, the improv up at Zona Rosa, tickets are still available, a few tickets are still available. But they're doing 2 shows tonight.
Yeah, I think it's. I think it might be just tonight that we have room for.
All right, listen, so just tonight?
She gave you a thumbs up.
Yeah. Give me a thumbs up. Right. Hey, man, it's really good to see you.
Likewise, man. Thank you.
I want to stop and do a commercial because I want to pet your dog.
Yeah, of course, man. I'll show you some footage, too.
Awesome.
this is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.